This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
We are going to talk about the way in which LGBTI people deal with crisis and respond to crisis. And to talk to us about that, we have Dr. Andrea Whaling, who's a research fellow from La Trobe University and the Australian Research Centre for Sex, Health and Society. Good morning to you, Andrea.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Andrea, I just to kick off the conversation, why do we need to investigate the experience of crisis for LGBTI people? How is it different from non-LGBTI people?
Well, that the history of discrimination that LGBTI people experience would mean that it'd be when they're experiencing a mental health crisis or a personal crisis that they're going through additional concerns. And so, you know, the study was really looking at why they may or may not use a crisis support service during that time. And we found that, in fact, even though there are very high rates of mental health distress and personal distress amongst the population, over 71% of our sample would choose not to use a service at that time period and instead choose to either see a doctor or a psychologist or actually just engage in a self-coping mechanism instead.
So is that because they think that they will be discriminated against, or is it because they've actually had some experience of actual discrimination?
It's actually that fear of the anticipation of discrimination. Mm. So we found that because most of our sample didn't actually use a crisis support service, they didn't have a direct experience of discrimination, but they had experienced discrimination in other health services or in other kinds of services. And so that was informing their choice to not use a mainstream service.
Well, I think, Andrea, if we look at that result now, that alone is disturbing. I suppose if you did it 5 years ago, it would have been even more disturbing. That what's the best thing, you know, we as a community can do and those resources can do, you know, to bring, you know, to make people, to allow people to feel more comfortable when they're in crisis. Obviously, some of it, you know, people are going to be internalising anyway. But if they're, you know, concerned about going to these services, that they're not going to be welcomed, or they feel that, you know, they're on the B list. And so what do we need to do as a society and these providers to bring this number down? So at least we've got parity.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is that it's already happening. You know, QLife, which is the only nationally service to do that work, is doing that work, and they're doing an amazing job with the limited amount of resources that they have. The one thing I could say is they need more resources to continue that work. They need more money to be able to spread much more awareness of the availability of what they have and to be able to help more people. In terms of mainstream services, one of the key things that we're recommending that they do is we're actually recommending them to actually engage with LGBTI orgs in health and well-being to start developing training and programs to help their counselors and their crisis support workers in working with the population, but also to demonstrate that they are allies to the community and that they are actually invested in ensuring that those services are safe. A lot of members of the community, if they don't see a mainstream service doing that kind of work, if they don't see that they're actually investing or engaging or trying to make their service safe for them, they're just not going to use it. And because they don't want to go through that discrimination again.
It's very interesting because, you know, on the back of marriage equality, where everybody, you know, in the mainstream world thinks that everything is sorted and we're all now sort of in love with each other and you can get married and it's all fine. There's an interesting study that was released only just yesterday to coincide with Mardi Gras that said that 84% of LGBTI people, that's most LGBTI people, believe that many parts of Australia are unsafe. Now, that's really significant. So, in fact, there's a real sense of fear that exists in our own community, right across the nation. How is that? How are we going to turn that around?
Oh, gosh, that's a really big question.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, that comes to the core of it, doesn't it?
It does. And, I mean, I think the community is already doing as much as it possibly can to address those issues. In terms of mainstream community, I mean, it's really about the mainstream community really working with the LGBT community, working to create safer spaces. I think some of that's starting to happen with things like Rainbow Tick, and we're seeing more things like the government's got national plans, for example, for LGBTI and aged care.
Yes.
That's really significant and important, but there's still so much that needs to be done, and I wouldn't know how to answer that question.
But it goes to the absolute nub of what you're talking about as well. So if we are always feeling in fear of many parts of the country, moving into many parts of the country, how are we going to deal with crises?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely it. And that's where I think services like QLife are really trying to bridge that gap. But outside of that, I mean, what we're hoping to do with Lifeline, if we can get funding, is we actually want to go into all of their training centres. So Lifeline's got call centres across Australia. And what we want to do is actually go into those centres and work with the crisis support counsellors.
Who's we, by the way?
Myself and other members of my research team, we're trying to get funding to develop a research project that includes training with these crisis support workers. So to look at what are their gaps in training, what do they need to be able to actually support the LGBTI community, and then actually establishing training and doing evaluations of that training to make sure that it's effective. This is a very long-term plan. It's a massive study that we're trying to pull together. So that's what we're trying to do in the kind of small scheme of things. But in terms of that big question, I'm just not sure.
So I think one of, you know, we've seen Switchboard in Victoria has lost some funding, particularly around aged members of our community, and
from the federal government.
From the federal government, and some funding, or not that funding, but other funding went to an organisation in Queensland that wasn't really doing it, but is.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a pattern of this with the feds, Macca.
Yeah.
They've now done it to a number. Remember they did it to Food Bank?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, a number of us are working on that behind the scenes to try and get that back. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we assume, let's be pessimistic and say 5% of the Australian community is LGBTIQ.
But it's not. It's 11.
No, it's 10.
But it's 11. Let's be honest about it.
Okay. And, you know, in terms of funding for all sorts of services for our communities, right, and let's assume we all pay similar rates of tax, we're all in similar income brackets. Our community, right, receives funding for services, specific services, at about 3%.
Well, if that.
No, at about 3% of other communities. So there's a long way to go, you know, and it's not surprising that, you know, people do feel a bit in crisis. But you know, everyone needs to remember, you're not alone. There is always someone that you can reach out and talk to. But at the end of the day, people always say, oh, yes, it's about funding, it's about resources. No, it's actually about equity. We need to receive a share of funding that is commensurate with the number of us in the community. And then if it's not sufficient because we're being disadvantaged by particular conditions, okay, increase it. But we need to get parity in funding. Not a few crumbs that have fallen off the table that the dog forgot to lick up, because that's what's happening at the moment.
Look, absolutely, and I'm a full agreement on that. I do think that the cuts to programs in Australia for LGBTI people are appalling. You know, that program, that Switchboard loss, is really upsetting, particularly because I also do work in aged care for LGBTI. It's one of my other research areas, and to find that out was actually quite upsetting because it's so desperately needed for that community. The other thing, too, is that, you know, with some of the programs, one of the important things is to ensure that mainstream services, particularly in areas where there is not capacity for an LGBTI-specific service, they also need to be trained up for inclusivity as well.
Yeah.
So the nut of your project is really about further understanding what's going on, and then looking at what sort of training existing service providers may need. Is there anything else that you're doing? Well, obviously some advocacy work as well.
Yeah, absolutely, advocacy work. And we're really kind of hoping to start to push for further research as well. You know, our study did not capture the experiences of people of color and had very little in terms of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander experiences. So that's really important that that's actually funding and resources are allocated to that as well.
Thank you for coming into the studio.
Yes, thank you.
When will the results of your work be concluded?
They're actually available now.
Okay.
So they're available to look at. They've been kind of spread around social media and we've had a few newspaper articles. The Star Observer has picked it up as well.
So if anybody wants to read your work in more detail, how can they track that down?
It's available on the Arches website in our publications. It's also available up on Lifeline's annual reports and research reports as
Wonderful.
Well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.